are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, November the 19th. And how is the Pistons front office perceived? We'll talk about that today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News, an Associated Press Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like y'all guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to detail the report from Rod Beard in the Detroit News about the teal jerseys, what could be coming for the future of that. We'll fill you in on that. We're also going to listen to an excerpt from the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, a new one on the Locked On Network. They put the NBA front offices into tears, and we'll kind of play what they had to say about Detroit and where they fit in on the grand scheme of things. I'll also react to that as well. Later on, I'm also going to talk about the tantalizing work that Sekou Doumbouya has been doing with the Grand Rapids Drive lately. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, speaking of tantalizing work, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that, also the Locked On Twitter account and Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. I guarantee sexy results if you give me a follow on Twitter and Facebook. But as Rod Beard reported, and as James Edwards wrote about during the training camp as well, teal jerseys, all the rage of the offseason. You guys on social media have been asking for it. So Rod's got a report about what's going on. It sounds like the first opportunity would be 2022-2023 season, so we're still a ways away. The NBA only lets you do what are called hardwood classics jerseys, so basically throwbacks, if it's a increment of 5-year anniversary of something that happened in your town, whether that's your team moving to a certain city, your team starting their franchise. So that would be the 80th anniversary of 1941 when the Fort Wayne Pistons got started by George Zollner down there in Indiana. So looking like the teal jerseys, I would imagine, are coming back for 2022-2023. The NBA has all sorts of rules about the city edition jerseys and who can make those and when those are available. Obviously, the playoff teams get another edition as well. So the Pistons, as we know, have the 4 jerseys last year with those black and gray ones. Those will apparently not be coming back. And the ones that will be, the new city edition ones, will be debuted likely this week, according to Rod Beard. So you guys can look for that. I think I saw on Twitter that you guys were posting pictures of a supposed jersey that might have been in a Champ sports store. I think that's getting around Pistons Twitter. Look for that. I wasn't anything appealing about that jersey, and I'm not even a jersey expert guy, but I even knew that one was boring and sucked. But hopefully that's not it, but we'll see. But a couple of 2 stripes down the front there, the normal colors. Nothing exciting about that. But apparently they will be debuting the Pistons, these city edition jerseys, whatever they look like, on November 29th at home against the Charlotte Hornets. That's apparent. That's the Black Friday game. That's going to be next week, a week from Friday. So look for those. Get very excited there. But the Hardwood Classics, like I said, they'll be the 5th jersey the years that those are available. So maybe they'll do the teals, maybe do the burgundies. And Rod intimated in his article that maybe the teals come back for that anniversary. And then the 85th anniversary of the franchise could be 2027-2028. So we'll see about that there. And then, of course, we know the they have names for, which I didn't realize, names for the other jerseys. The home whites the Pistons have, those are called the association jerseys. Every team has an association, an icon, a statement, and a city jersey. The icon ones are the blue ones for the road. The statement ones are the gray ones. And the city ones, of course, were the Motor City black and silver last year, patterned around the Oakland Raiders, which was kind of an ode to the Bad Boys time, and there was a little bit of a special relationship between those two franchises back in the day in terms of a logo and identity situation. So that's it with the jerseys. Again, we'll be looking for those new ones to drop with the City Edition ones, but don't be waiting on pins and needles for teals to come out, but do shop and go find them at the Pistons store. I know they're selling them, even though they're not going to be worn on the court by a team. So you guys are getting your prayers answered. But again, I'll refer you guys to a nice oral history that James Edwards III did in The Athletic during training camp, so you want to check that out too. But on the court, the Pistons back in action Wednesday in Chicago. We'll talk more about the Bulls tomorrow, and then home for the Atlanta Hawks on Friday before embarking on the third back-to-back with the second half, the second leg back in Minnesota on Saturday night. And then next week, very winnable games. If this was a team that could win any games, Pistons will be home for Orlando on Monday, and then a home-and-home wrapped around Thanksgiving with the Charlotte Hornets. That's going to be Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving in Charlotte, and then the Black Friday night after Thanksgiving back in Detroit City. Again, I mean, we're looking at 5 of 6 games that the Pistons could and should win. Again, really no expectations of that actually happening because of how bad this team is playing right now. The Pistons are 4 and bad. They're 4 and 9, and they're really bad. So just not going well right now. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that with some of our national experts here on the Locked On Podcast Network up next, as Nate Duncan and John Hollinger are going to talk about the perception of the Pistons front office. Enlightening if you weren't aware of what the perception of the Pistons front office is. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons Podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I'm going to update you on what's been up with Sekou Doumbouya. Some good news for Pistons Nation as the 18-year-old continues to fare well in the NBA's G League. But the new Hollinger and Duncan podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's a must-listen for me every Sunday night or Monday morning whenever I can get to it as it comes out. Nate Duncan is a longtime analyst of the NBA who's big into the analytics world and big into the world of front offices and salaries and just kind of the new age following of the NBA, and does a good job. Primarily, he's from Chicago, but he's also primarily covered the Golden State Warriors over there during their run. And John Hollinger, that you probably know from ESPN, kind of the original ESPN.com analytics guy for the past 7 years. He's been working in the front office with the Memphis Grizzlies alongside Ed Stefanski, as he'll note as they break down the front offices. So this the show comes out every Sunday night, but the episode from last Sunday night was the part one of breaking down the NBA front offices into tiers using criteria like ownership, the actual people in charge, and just some of the moves that they've made in those times. So interesting way of seeing where the Pistons would get slotted in, and it was pretty much as I expected, to be honest with you. Not quite middle of the pack, but somewhere between, I would say, how about middle of the pack between actual middle of the pack and then the very bottom. So very kind of in the bottom third, the top of the bottom third, something like that. I don't know if they gave exact numbers, but I think at one point they made a reference to number 22, but I think just kind of like using that as kind of a figure of speech in a way. So check out the episode. They break down, and like I said, part two was this week's episode. So that's when the Pistons were included in it. So if you want to listen to just the Pistons analysis and the ones that were just inside of that, a little bit before, a little bit behind, I guess I'll give a little spoiler. You know, there was a top tier of a few teams speaking very highly of the, I guess Toronto Raptors were the star of the entire show in terms of how Masai Ujiri and that front office and ownership has fared, obviously winning the NBA championship, making the big risk to get Kawhi Leonard and some of the developmental things they did. Firing Dwayne Casey was a checkmark in their favor, as it should be, because they won the championship after that kind of bold move with the coach of the year. But and then the New York Knicks were the very bottom of the front office listing that they did hilariously and predictably, of course, with James Dolan being the biggest issue, but also former Pistons executive Scott Perry drawing a lot of the brunt of criticism from Nate Duncan. Now, I know Nate Duncan's a little bit of a lightning rod, especially with Pistons Nation. I know some of the DBB guys are on his case from time to time. But let's listen to the clip of John Hollinger and Nate Duncan talking about the Pistons, and I'll give my thoughts on it afterwards. So enjoy this from the Hollinger and Duncan podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, let's talk about Detroit.
Yeah.
See, to me, I found Detroit and Orlando to be very similar type of organizations. Just, hey, let's grab the 8th seed in the East. We're out of the playoffs for a while. I mean, Orlando hasn't made a trade like the Griffin trade.
Yeah.
But
I think Orlando eventually aspires to something higher than 8th in the East. I'm not sure Detroit does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe if Blake Griffin really could have worked out, you know, they could have got like 5th in the East. The East is down. No,
it's the East. You can talk yourself into almost anything, I guess, in that conference. I think there are more voices in the room in Detroit that shouldn't be there. I mean, certainly Arne Tellem, I think, is a factor and should not be. I think the owner is something of a factor.
Well, the GM search
remains ongoing. Yes. Ed Stefanski, who, full disclosure, worked with me in Memphis. Yes. They made the announcement that he was going to lead a GM search, and apparently it's in its, what, seventh year or something.
Well, I mean, he certainly hired the candidate that he thought was most qualified.
Or he is conducting a very thorough search, one or the other. So.
Yeah, between Stefanski and Casey, that's a Warren Legere has his paws into that one organization.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
And Tellem's role really, he's coming in on the business side. Stan Van Gundy, in theory, was still the lead executive when they made the Griffin trade, but supposedly everyone else was on board with it, and then Van Gundy was immediately fired. Bringing in the coach GM as well wasn't really too amazing either.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you have to go back to the Gore's tenure really has featured just a complete lack of imagination. And it was tough for them. 3 years ago, they're kind of in the situation where Orlando was last year, where they made the playoffs with a team that didn't have a lot of upside, and they've kind of been shuffling the deck chairs around ever since. But yeah, it's just not really clear exactly where you're going to go with this group. And I agree with you. There's the executive situation there and ownership is uninspiring. I mean, not terrible, but it's definitely like uninspiring at best.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And even at the margins, like, they just let Such and Gupta walk, like, which was, I thought that was one of their better hires. It was kind of surprising.
Should talk about, I don't have much more to say on Detroit, frankly. I think they're just, they're just
kind of uninspiring,
solidly,
right?
Below average, it's just the way they are.
It's just hard to get too wound up. All right, let's move on.
All right, let's move on. Indeed, a very flippant conversation about the Detroit Pistons and a very non-serious one, a little punch drunk there from Nate and John. And again, I enjoy the show. I like these guys. And there's probably a part of me that wants to rip them one right here. Because, sometimes you get territorial about things like this. Like if someone picks on your little brother or something like that, you kind of get pissed. Like even if you're picking on him at home all the time, and I'm the little brother, so I'm not really relating to this simile or metaphor that I'm making up here, but you're like, hey, I can pick on that kid all I want, all the time, but you can't. He's family, so I can do it to him, but you don't touch family like that. I would say that usually when it comes to the Detroit Pistons on a national scope, I know that you guys are like this, and this is usually my reaction to things like that as well, but not so this time, because it's true. I mean, this is who we are. This is the Detroit Pistons right now. The Arne Tellem situation, John Hollinger talking about how he should not be very involved with the front office, and he is. It's something I've talked about on this show. Joe Johnson and Derrick Rose being two big examples of that. Now Derrick Rose proving to be doing okay when he's healthy so far and really had a nice little contract as well. The Joe Johnson situation had Arne Tellem's fingerprints all over it. Now, if he wants to run the team and give himself the job and put himself into it 24 hours a day, then that's one thing. But it doesn't seem to be something that a little bit too much influence from ownership and Arne Tellem in those channels. And then kind of the jag about Ed Stefanski and the GM coaching, the GM search. We've joked about that over the years as well. Maybe we don't talk about it enough. But yeah, Tom Gores says, hey, I'm going to hire Ed Stefanski to put a search committee together. And all you got to do is find the best possible person for the job out there in the world. And Ed Stefanski looked long and hard and figured out that he himself was the best person for the job. So just the way, and there's nothing inherently wrong with hiring Ed Stefanski to run the Detroit Pistons. It's just the way that whole thing went down was very clumsy, and they never even changed his title. He's still senior advisor to the owner of the Detroit Pistons, which, no other team in the NBA is run by the senior advisor to the owner of the team. Just a kind of a comically inept outside perspective of how things are going. Warren Legarry, the guy who invented the NBA Summer League in Vegas, he's an agent of front office and coaches. That's something I didn't know, that he is both the agent of Ed Stefanski and Dwayne Casey. I've never really seen that reported. Maybe I've missed it over the years in time, but yeah, that's kind of a sad thing as well that I didn't realize. Sachin Gupta, we talked about that quite a bit this past offseason, that not only did he leave, I mean, you can understand a guy, you know, 1 year is a quick amount of time to be in a job, but if you kind of get promoted to the next level with a team like he is with Minnesota right now, that's one thing. But for the Pistons to not even hire a replacement as far as an assistant GM in charge of the analytics department, to me, kind of signals that they weren't very serious about that position to begin with. And the fact that he left without a lot of obvious things that were done by him or implemented by him anyway, kind of shows me that the Ed Stefanski regime didn't really value that part of things and probably just said, well, we need to hire an analytics guy, so let's overpay a respected guy like Sachin Gupta, who's worked in Houston and Philadelphia, and kind of just show that we're serious about this. And then at the end of the day, when rubber meets the road, maybe we're not so serious about this. But talking about Nate and John's podcast kind of breakdown, and Nate Duncan, by the way, said later on they were going through the post-mortem of the list and talked about how the easiest decision to make on the list, and Nate said that putting Pistons at about 22, or he actually said at 22, was very easy because there's just nothing ambiguous about this team and this front office. Certainly not one of the four, five, or six laughing stocks in the league, or certainly not one of the four, I should say. They had kind of a distinct tier of four teams at the very bottom: Charlotte, Sacramento, and of course the Knicks in there. The fourth team is escaping me as I try to think of it off the top of my head. But they had the four teams at the bottom there, but not really much better than that, demonstrably at all. And I remember that Zach Lowe, in his kind of a preview piece of things to look for in each team, Zach Lowe flippantly just kind of passed the Pistons on ESPN.com. And I remember some of you guys had some reactions to that. But again, this is it. This is what the Pistons are, right? And I know it sucks, and I know that this podcast has maybe taken a little bit of a dark turn these past few weeks, now that we're kind of showing what we figured might happen with the injury situations, but we need to come to grips with reality here. We're not going to be blowing sunshine up your butt here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is a team that's in need of a transition, in need of some big changes, and it's going to be a year of changes coming, and we'll see if they make the right ones, and we'll talk about the possible decisions on the horizon as we go here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match 50% of your first deposit. Listening on the go, if you can't, visit MyBookie right now. You can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at LockedOnPodcast.com/offers. Check it out. All sorts of stuff from all of our great sponsors. We appreciate all of them, so you should go ahead and do all your holiday shopping there on LockedOnPodcasts.com/offers. Again, check out the Hollinger and Duncan podcast if you want to be an informed basketball fan. You got to check out those guys, despite the fact that they just kind of roll through the Pistons sometimes. And you know what? Sometimes that's okay. But up next, we're going to talk Sekou Doumbouya, some good news for the Pistons and Grand Rapids Drive. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, how about some good news to close the Locked On Pistons podcast today? Sekou Doumbouya having some big moments in Grand Rapids. I would encourage you guys to go on Twitter, go on to your preferred platform of interneting and find the videos. The NBA G League tweeted out a video late on Monday night of some highlights, pointing out that Sekou Doumbouya indeed has 51 points combined in his last two games in the NBA G League, scoring 23 points and grabbing 4 rebounds the other night for the Grand Rapids Drive, shooting 10 of 17 on field goals, and then on Monday, filling it up in a comeback win at Westchester. I think the Drive were held under 100 points, but that didn't stop Sekou from having a big game. Indeed, he made a three-pointer with about 37 seconds left to seal the victory, a comeback win over Westchester on the road for the Grand Rapids Drive. Sekou finishes with 28 points, 5 rebounds, 10 of 16 from the field, an outstanding field goal percentage there. And even perhaps more encouraging 4 of 7 from three-point land in 30 minutes as well. Just really good work by Sekou Doumbouya down there. Jordan Bone, one of the two-way players for the Detroit Pistons in Grand Rapids Drive, had 21.6 rebounds and 5 assists in the victory as well. Louis King has been doing some good things in the first couple weeks of action. The other two-way player for the Pistons and Drive as well. So some encouraging stuff happening in the G League. Get over to Grand Rapids. Check out a game. Let me know how you what you think about those guys. Get in to our Google voicemail line anytime that you'd like. Leave a message with your name, where you live. Let us know your thoughts. 810-666-1546 is the phone number there. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Again, another plug to check out the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, also the Locked On NBA podcast every single day. And Rejecting the Screen with Noah and Adam. Those guys do a great job, and you should be checking out all the shows here on the great Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, Matt Derry's got Locked On Lions. Isaiah Hull, who I saw on Monday at Jim Harbaugh's press conference in Ann Arbor, working up the Locked On Wolverines. A lot of stuff going on in Michigan State Athletics that Will Hunter is talking about every day, with the good news with the basketball team playing well, the tragic news of Cassius Winston and his brother passing away, and then the Mark D'Antonio circus right now that's a bit of a mess in East Lansing. Will does a great job of breaking all that stuff down. Friends of mine, all of those guys, and listen to them and get in touch with me if you know someone who might be interested in doing the Lockdown Red Wings podcast. We're looking for that. An exciting up-and-coming team there as well, anxious to get that started and get that host on the Lockdown Pistons podcast sometime to introduce him to you all. But that'll do it for our show today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Lockdown Pistons podcast, saying, hey, let's talk some Chicago Bulls tomorrow. Back in action on Wednesday. A little bit of a long layoff that we're not used to here in Pistons Nation, but we'll get back at some basketball soon. Looking forward to it. And, hey, talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.